Welcome to the Sober Plug Podcast, where I get you disconnected from addiction and plugged into recovery. I'm your host, Connor Duffy. If you are struggling with addiction, you can reach out to my direct line. That is 203-917-8862. Again, 203-917-8862. What I want to talk to you about today are the three factors in sobriety. What are the three things that you need to be focused on in order to really put yourself in a position to succeed to get sober? And here's the thing, when we are trying to do something that is difficult or that is complex, the best way to become successful in any area of your life, whether that be sobriety, building a business, trying to build a relationship, like whatever, it's simplicity. If we can make things simple and simplify things that are complex and complicated and break them down into the simplest form, it then becomes possible and manageable to become successful slowly over time. Now, the whole thing with getting sober is, what are the three key factors that we can focus on to put ourselves in the best position to succeed? And the three things that I have are, one, your environment, two, your habits slash routine, and three is your mindset. So number one, your environment. This is going to be the people that you surround yourself with. It is nearly impossible to hang around five people that are drinking and getting high and expect yourself to stay sober. It's not gonna happen. And the truth of the matter is, we don't want to lose our friends. We build friendships with people that we've known for a long time. We get comfortable with certain individuals, and there are genuine friendships with a lot of these people, but the problem is, it's not conducive to sobriety. It's not going to allow us to get to the place where we want to go. And if we truly want to get sober, we need to hang around people who are living in alignment with that. This is very hard. This is very difficult because a lot of us have trouble building, setting boundaries. I know I did. I, you know, always looked at myself as someone who was loyal to a fault. And it was very difficult for me to draw the line in the sand and say, listen, you know, I'm living differently these days, and I'm trying to move my life in the right direction. And I didn't want other people to think that I thought I was better than them. It wasn't that, you know what I mean? It wasn't a judgment thing. So what I did was I watered down my goals. I watered down the things that I was ambitious about and the things that I wanted to achieve for myself. And that came at the cost of my sobriety. You know what I'm saying? I could not draw these boundaries. I had a very, very difficult time separating myself from my environment, and it came at a cost, and it cost me a lot of different relapses. It cost me a lot of time and effort and struggle. And even the times that I was able to hang around certain people that were continuing to use and I didn't use myself, I wasn't content within the relationship. I was not happy, joyous, and free in those moments of spending time with them. And so a lot of times we refuse to draw boundaries and, you know, really put ourselves in a position to succeed because we think that we're gonna miss out. We have fear of missing out. We have fear of missing out on the concert or going on a trip with our friends. And you know, we have this mindset that we're gonna miss out on all these good times. But the truth is, if we're actually trying to get sober, and that is our main goal, hanging around people that are continuing to use isn't going to be what it's cracked up to be anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be more of a battle internally, mentally, emotionally than anything else. The whole idea of friendship, true friendship, and any type of relationship is to enjoy the time that you're spending with that individual. And so if an individual that you spend a lot of time with is doing something that is uncomfortable to you, you now have an uncomfortable relationship. That is a toxic relationship. And it doesn't mean that they're a bad person or you think you're better than them. It just means that your goals and ambitions aren't aligned with theirs. And this is what life is, you know what I'm saying? Things are constantly changing. People's goals and ambitions are always changing. And this is why relationships are hard to find. Healthy relationships that continue to thrive are very, very difficult to come across, because we constantly need to be in a state of going in the same direction, you know what I'm saying, and have a similar mindset. And this is why we attract who we are. The people that we hang out with is really just a reflection of who we are and what we accept in our life, you know what I mean? So if you are trying to get sober and you're hanging around people that are not living that way, I'm telling you, you're setting yourself up for failure and for a very difficult time. You know what I mean? You're going to be making it hard on yourself. It's going to be difficult one way or another. And here's the thing, people want to avoid difficulties, but that's impossible. You either have to have a difficult conversation or set a difficult boundary and do what you need to do for yourself, or you're going to be in a difficult situation all the time, every time you spend meaningful time with these people, you know what I mean? So you don't get to avoid difficulties or obstacles in life. You just get to pick the difficulties and obstacles in life. And my philosophy is you want to pick the difficulties that are pushing you in the right direction instead of the wrong direction. So the second key factor in sobriety, if you want to get sober, your habits and your routine need to be on point. You need to have some type of structure to your days. The worst thing that we can do for ourselves in early recovery is to have idle time. Idle time is the devil's playground. When we have a lot of free time on our hands, we are setting ourselves up for failure, because when our mind roams free, we constantly go to a place where we are looking for an escape. That's just what we're built to do, you know what I mean? We're constantly looking for dopamine, and we are used to that dopamine hit or that dopamine rush. So when we have downtime, it's not always the best thing for us. Now, I love downtime because this is when I get into my meditation, or I get to unwind, or I get to do some things, maybe around the house, around the apartment. But when you're in early recovery, a lot of times we don't have a routine or a set structure, and we don't have a set schedule that we are tired from or need necessarily relief from. We look at downtime as boredom a lot of time. And boredom, essentially what boredom means is unfulfillment. Being bored just essentially means that you have a lack of direction or purpose in life. So when we're first getting sober, not all the time, I'm not speaking for everyone, because there are people that maintain a lifestyle as well, right? There are people that maintain who are functioning and do have a rhythm and a routine. But what I'm talking about is an individual that has no routine or no habit or no structure. We need some type of structure in our day. So what I like to focus on is mind, body, and soul. This is why I talk about working out, because it is so important. It is so important and crucial to my days. And I'm feeling it now. If I'm being fully transparent with you, I've been working on building this rehab facility that's going to be opening up within this next week, I'm hoping, and we're really making a push. But unfortunately, there's so many different things to do that it's been very difficult for me to get my workouts in. And I feel it, you know what I mean? It really sets up my day. I get an energy boost. I feel better. It is a positive dopamine hit. I just feel more confident. I feel more in rhythm in my day when I'm working out. And I'm telling you, I've noticed it over the last few weeks here, ever since I came out onto the West Coast, that I feel it in my days when I do not get a workout in. So, I'm trying my best. Even if I can't get to the gym, I'll at least go outside to play some basketball or get some type of exercise in, because it's just so crucial. I like to start my day off with the gym, you know what I mean? Or at least earlier on in my day in the mornings. So that's what I try my best to get my workouts in. So, but mind, body, and soul, it's more than just working out, right? It's building a structure to your days. And this is where I talk about your morning routine. When I am operating on firing on all cylinders, I focus on my meditation, my workouts, and my reading. And if I can get those three things done in the morning and I start my day off right, I feel a lot better about moving forward and tackling the things that show up in my life. You know what I mean? Whether that be work, whether that be any problems that come my way, I just am in a much more clear mindset when I do these things in the morning and having some type of structure and routine to my day, opposed to being in a rush, not having that me time in the morning and just like, there's nothing worse than waking up in the morning and rushing around or having to sit in traffic on your way to work and not being in a place where you feel like you got some shit done and you're stacking some W's. That's the whole point, right? If you wake up and you have a calculated rhythm to your day and you can get some wins underneath your belt, it has that positive momentum effect where it impacts the next thing and it impacts the next thing. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you're getting a lot more things done because you're calculated and it's planned out. So I focus on mind, body, and soul. That's working out. That's meditation. That's getting some type of reading done for me to focus on as well. And another thing I throw in my routine is journaling. And that's been something that's been very, very helpful to me while I've been in this transition period of opening up this facility. Journaling is something that's been very helpful to me because I'm able to collect my thoughts and get everything down on paper that has happened throughout my day. What are the things that I could be doing better? What are the things that I need to work on? What's something that I learned today? And it really allows me to look at things in a different perspective. And also, the cool part about journaling is that you'll be able to look at it later. You're going to want to be able to remember the days that you're living in now, even if you think that it's boring and mundane or you're not doing anything significant. I'm telling you, there's going to be a time in the future that you're going to want to know what you're going to want to remember what these days were like. It's very, very important to have some data and remember certain parts of your life in the specific moment. You're able to capture things that you just can't capture at a later time. You know what I mean? And being able to look back and see the things that are going well or maybe not going so well and comparing where you're at in the future to where you were today, it's really cool to be able to do. So journaling is another thing that's been very, very helpful. And so the third thing is your mindset. And your mindset, number three, the reason why it's its own category is because our mind can really fuck with us big time in addiction. I mean, we are masters at manipulation and justification, and our mind is our, like, it's like our enemy when we're first trying to get sober. We do not typically have a strong mindset in positive areas. We have a strong mindset in negative areas. And our mindset is geared towards moving us towards things that make us comfortable. That is drinking and getting high and surrounding ourselves with people who probably aren't the best for us. We're masters at making things seem like a good idea when they're really not. So the good part is that if you do number one and two on the key factors here, you take care of your environment and you have habits and routine and structure to your days, your mindset is going to shift in a positive direction. But even with that, your mind is still going to work against you a little bit. It's gonna make things seem attractive that probably aren't the best for you. You're gonna have cravings. Things are gonna pop up that make it seem like it will be a good idea or it will be acceptable to use once or twice. And so, it's really important to remind yourself why you got sober to begin with. Do not allow your mind to drag you through the mud and make it seem like it's an attractive idea to get high one more time or it'll be different this time. Or we say things like, I was just immature at that time and I can handle it now. Focus on your last high, not the first. A lot of times we go back to what getting high was like in the beginning, what drinking was like in the beginning, when we had a good time with our friends and when we got that relief and everything was blissful and everything was good. And it's not like that anymore. It's not a fucking party anymore. It became absolutely miserable for me. I don't know about you, but by the time I was ready to get sober, it was out of desperation. It was not because everything was going great. You know what I mean? Everything was falling apart. And everybody's bottom is different. Not everybody's on the verge of homelessness when they're ready to get sober. But what is the same for just about everybody is that emotional bottom. Getting to the realization that I cannot live this way anymore and I've had enough. I didn't even think that I could get sober. I just knew that I also couldn't continue living this way anymore. And that was enough for me. You know what I'm saying? I was 20 years old when I got clean and I did not think that it was possible for me to get clean. I really didn't. My mindset was not like, yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get sober and I'm ready to achieve long-term sobriety. That seemed like a fucking pipe dream to me. You know what I'm saying? But what I did know, and this was all that mattered, was I needed to do something different. I had the gift of desperation and I had to remind myself of that. Because as I was getting sober and as I started to accumulate some time, a month, couple months, 6 months, even a year or two, right? These thoughts would pop into my head of how it would be different this time. How, you know, I'm going through all these stressful times and all this shit is popping up in my life and all I need to do is buy that bag or buy that pill and all of a sudden things would be just a little bit different, just one more time. And if I'm being honest with myself and you're being honest with yourself, if you remind yourself of the last high instead of the first and how that relief was in the beginning, remind yourself of what that quote unquote relief looked like towards the end. Remind yourself of what that despair was like, how desperate you were. What were the relationships in your life? What did they look like? What was your financial situation? How was your health? How was your mental health? How were you looking physically? You know, what were the thoughts that were going on in your head at the tail end of your using, not the beginning of your using? So shifting your mindset and focusing on the reality of the situation of using is a very important tool to have. And so always keep that in your back pocket. Always remember that as a tool to shift your mindset towards the truth of your addiction. And the cool part is if you do something like journal, which I mentioned in the habits and the routine part, if you journal your early days in recovery, then you'll be able to look back on those moments and you'll be able to take a peek into what using was like. You'll be able to take a look into your first couple days or your first couple weeks, and I think you will get a lot of really good information and keeping things green for yourself, because we have a very, very interesting way of forgetting and misleading ourselves and being misinformed in our own head. You know what I'm saying? That's the strength of addiction right there. Sometimes we put ourselves in a position to fail instead of a position to succeed. And that's the only way addiction can thrive for so long. We continue to do things that are fucked up, yet we justify and manipulate it. So, like I mentioned earlier, our mindset is not exactly our friend in the beginning. It can work to our disadvantage. So we need to almost build that muscle of keeping things green and remembering the truth of the matter. And this is also why your environment plays a part in that as well, because your friend group, as long as they are sober, will also remind you of those things, right? So listen, that's all I have for you today. I appreciate you tuning in, as always. I don't make this podcast to hear myself talk. I'm doing it to hopefully give you some value, and I appreciate you tuning in. So if you are struggling with addiction and you need some resources, you need some help, you can reach out to my direct line. That is 203-917-8862. Again, that is 203-917-8862. Much love. I hope you have a great weekend, and I will see you on the next one.